Okay, and again, guys, it's important for us as Muslims who are aspiring to become believers to be aware of the dangers involved in bidah or innovation. And I'm hoping that from the lectures we've had this past month, everybody here has a basic understanding of what innovation is and will know to stay away from it. Because innovation is something that destroys our religion, and innovation is something that is just as dangerous as shirk is. And there's a thin line between shirk and innovation. Okay, so today what we're going to do is go over some of the different type of common innovations that Muslims engage in, beginning with the first innovation of uttering the intentions out loud to pray. This is innovation. And we get a lot of questions here at the website about this. And by the way, guys, the things we're going to talk about today are not the only different types of innovations. There are hundreds of innovative acts that people engage in. But what I've done is just selected some of the most common things that are presented to us here at this website all the time. Questions that people come here to ask us in person and questions that they ask us on the question board. Okay, so I chose some of these innovations to focus in on. Okay, uttering the intentions out loud is bidah. This is innovation. There is nothing from the Quran or the Sunnah that gives evidence to the fact that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam or any of his companions uttered their intentions out loud. In fact, whenever the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would pray, he would stand up and he would say, Allahu Akbar. He would say, Allahu Akbar. He would not start off by muttering intentions. Okay? He did not stand there and say, Oh Allah, I intend to make 4 rakats for dhuhr and face the Qibla at such and such time or such and such whatever. This was not from the Sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Where does it come from? We don't know, because it didn't come from him. It didn't come from the Sahaba. Not even any of the 4 Imams mentioned anything about this being done. So we don't know where this innovation came from. Again, guys, praying is an act of worship. Praying is an act of worship, and in all acts of worship must be done as legislated by Allah and His Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And so this also includes making the intentions to fast. Every Ramadan, you find a bunch of people who claim that, oh, I can't fast today because I forgot to make my intentions. Again, intentions lie in the heart. They lie in the heart. You do not have to utter your intentions out loud the day before that you fast. In fact, you can make one intention for the whole month of Ramadan, subhanAllah. In fact, Ibn Taymiyyah best explained this when he said, if it crosses a person's mind that he is going to fast tomorrow, then thus he has made the intention. That's how simple it is. The intentions are made in your heart. Allah is well aware of what you intended to do. So you do not have to vocalize your intentions to pray or to fast. This is innovation. Where does it come from? We don't know, but it's not from the Sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam or any of his companions. So that's the number one innovation we want to stay away from. Another common innovation that many people engage in is reciting specific du'as after reading the Quran. This is innovation. This is innovation. There is no evidence from the Quran or the authentic Sunnah to support anyone saying that there is a specific du'a to recite after reading the Quran. To recite after reading the Quran. Now, there's nothing wrong with you reciting just a general dua, you know, saying, oh Allah, please give me knowledge or whatever. But to say that there's a specific dua that must be recited upon completion of the Quran, this is innovation and this is incorrect. Where does it come from? We don't know, but it's not from the authentic sunnah. It's not from the way that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us to how to perform reading of the Quran. Okay, so again, that's another innovation that we want to be aware of and stay away from. There is no specific dua to recite after reading the Quran. And while we're on this subject, another innovation, you will find a lot of people, when they do recite the Quran, they say Sadaqallah Adeem. This is also innovation. Where does this come from? This is innovation. You do not recite Sadaqallah Adeem after reciting a verse of the Quran. First of all, it doesn't make any sense. Yes, Allah has spoken the truth. All of what Allah says is the truth. So why would you have to go behind and restate it? So that's another innovation that you find many, many, many Muslims doing. When they recite the Quran, they end up Sadaqallahu Adeem. Where does this come from? Innovation. So again, you want to be aware of that as well. The next common innovative act that many people indulge in, and this is a big one, reciting dua and dhikr aloud in unison. This is innovation. And you will find many Sufi people and other people of innovation doing this. They'll make salat, and after praying the obligatory prayer, they then sit down together in a group and recite a dua in unison. Or they sit there and say Subhanallah, Allahu Akbar, together in unison. This is also innovation. This is innovation. Again, dua is an act of worship, and it must be performed the way the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has instructed us. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he used to make dua during salat, not afterwards. He would make dua while in sajda or in the final tashahud. So a lot of people you see will innovate by after they finish praying, they'll sit there and raise their hands and make a dua. This is innovation. This is not from the sunnah. If you were following the sunnah, you would make dua during salat, not afterwards. And you never do it in congregation with anyone. And you never recite Allah's name in congregation with anyone. Again, these are all acts of bidah. Okay? So again, you want to stay away from that. We want to remember that whoever adheres to the practice of reciting dua in unison, following the prayers, or after reading the Quran, or after a lesson has been taught, these people have innovated something into the religion. And remember, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has told us, whoever innovates something in this religion that is not a part of it will have it rejected. So again, you want to stay away from these innovations. There is no dua in congregation. There is no zikr in congregation. And if you're going to make dua, you make it during salat, not afterwards. Okay, the next common innovation that many people practice is giving certain days meaning. In other words, giving a day a meaning that has not been legislated by Allah. For example, we got Muslims who call themselves fasting during the month of Rajab, that they have to fast on the 13th, the 21st, the 22nd, and 27th of Rajab. Where does this come from? There is nothing from the authentic Sunnah that states the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said we had to fast any days other than Ramadan. Okay? And there is no hadith that shows anything special about the month of Rajab as far as fasting on these days. So again, where does this come from? More innovation. More innovation. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam encouraged us to fast 3 days out the month. But you don't have to do it. He encouraged it. And of course, he encouraged us to fast on the 13th of each month. But nowhere did he single out the month of Rajab as being something special. So that's another innovation that many people deal with. Again, guys, we talked about how you can tell if an act is innovative or not. There's five questions that you ask yourself that will tell you if something is innovative. You ask yourself, first of all, does this act contradict the sunnah? Secondly, you ask yourself, is there any authentic evidence from the Quran or the sunnah to support it? And then you ask yourself, does this involve me going to the extremes? And then you ask yourself, does this restrict me to a certain time, place, or number? These are questions that you can ask yourself to tell if something is innovative or not. Okay? And I'm telling you, the number one giveaway is, where can I find where the Prophet or his Sahaba did that? That's how you can tell. That's the number one way of telling. So anyway, this is another act of innovation that we all want to stay away from, and that is giving certain days meaning that have not been given meaning by the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam or Allah. Okay, the next common innovation or bidah that many Muslims indulge in, and you guys hear us talk about it a lot here at the website because we're constantly getting questions about it, is celebrating birthdays. Celebrating birthdays. Again, there is nothing from the Quran or the Sunnah to give a person evidence to use to say that they can celebrate birthdays. Okay, this is innovation. Where did it originate from? I'll tell you where it originated from. It originated from some Muslim who decided he wanted to be like the Kafir. Some Muslim who decided that the Kafirs celebrate their birthdays, so why come we can't? That's where that came from. That did not come from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam or any of the Sahaba. Okay? So this is something else that you want to stay away from. And this means that we do not accept birthday cards. It means we do not accept birthday presents. It means that we don't go around telling people to wish us a happy birthday. Because by doing any of those things, you are contributing to celebrating it. So that's another common innovation that we need to stay away from. Remember, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam one day said to the people, he said, you will follow the ways of those who came before you step by step to such an extent that if they were to enter a lizard's hole, you would follow them. The people then said, well, who are you referring to? He said, the Jews and the Christians, who else? And this is exactly what's going on. A lot of this innovation comes from people trying to be like the Christians and the Jews. They figure the Christians and the Jews have holidays, so why don't we make up some for us? So that's when they sit there and they make up this innovation. They innovate celebrating birthdays, celebrating the Prophet's birthday and all this stuff. It comes from weak Muslims who call themselves trying to be like the Kufar. Okay? The next common innovation that many Muslims indulge in is reciting a specific dua before reading the Quran. Now, we talked about how there is no evidence from the authentic Sunnah or the Quran that states that after you read the Quran, you're supposed to recite a specific dua. And just like there's no evidence for that, there is also no evidence that states before reading, you're supposed to recite a dua. In fact, it's the opposite. Allah tells us in the Quran, the interpretation, the meaning. He says, when you want to recite the Quran, seek refuge with Allah from shaitan. So in other words, what you should recite before reading the Quran is A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. And that's it. That's it. That's what should be recited before you read Quran. Other than that, there is no evidence that states anything about a specific dua to recite before reading. Okay, so again, that is more innovation. And also included with this, there is nothing from the authentic Sunnah that states that a person has to cover all their body parts in order to read the Quran. Believe it or not, guys, we have a lot of so-called Muslims out there who try to tell you that a woman cannot read the Quran unless she puts on a hijab and a jilbab. This is a lie. This is a lie. There is nothing that states a woman must cover up in order to read the Quran. In fact, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to lie his head in the lap of Aisha while she was on her period, and he would recite the Quran. Okay, so again, you know, when people come to you telling you things like you have to wear a hijab in order to read the Quran, you have to tell them, show me the evidence. Where is the hadith to support this? Where is the Quranic verse to support this? If the people cannot produce to you the ayat to support it, then you know that it's innovation. You leave it alone. So we have to remember, guys, you can read the Quran when standing, when sitting, when cross-legged, lying down, however you want to. You respect Allah, the book, because it's Allah's words. But that does not mean that you have to cover up and act as if you're about to make salat because you're getting ready to read the Quran. Okay? So that's more innovation that we want to stay away from. Again, don't forget to ask yourself those questions. Those questions, those four questions. And that's how you can tell if something is being innovative. Okay, another common innovation that unfortunately many, many Muslims indulge in is putting flowers on graves. This is bidah. Again, there is nothing from the Quran or the authentic Sunnah that states that you can go around putting flowers on graves. Where did this originate from? Again, copycat of the kuffar. People who want to be like the kafir. The Christians and the Jews, they go around raising their graves and building blocks over them and putting flowers on them. Well, some brilliant, so-called brilliant innovator of Islam decided he wanted to be like the kuffar. So now you got a bunch of Muslims going around putting flowers on the graves. This is innovation. It is not from the Sunnah. I will tell you what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did though. One day the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was walking past a Jewish graveyard. And then he stopped. He took a date palm leaf, cut it in half, and put it over two graves. And one of the companions asked, why did he do that? He said because he could hear the screams of those two being tortured in their graves, and this would lessen their pain. One was being tormented because he was a slanderer, and a backbiter, and the other was being tormented because he used to didn't wash the urine from his clothes when he prayed. And by the way, guys, those are the two sins that most people will be punished for the most in their graves. It's slander. That's why I tell you guys all the time, you better be careful those backbiting, scandal-monging flesh eaters that you hang with. Because this is the number one sin that you're going to have to pay for in your grave, okay? And people who make salat with urine on their clothes. Those are the two people who will be punished the most, okay? And they're in the graves. So the Prophet ﷺ put the date palm leaves over the graves to lessen the punishment. That's what he did. But as far as going around picking flowers and roses and putting them on graves and cleaning the graves and all this, this is innovation. And also, you again, when you're dealing with dead people, you have to be careful because there's a thin line between innovation and shirk. Okay? So you need to be careful when it comes to playing around with innovative acts dealing with people who are deceased. So that's another innovation you guys want to stay away from, is putting flowers on graves. Now the next innovation is one that we get questions about at least twice a week at this website. And many of you who are regular users have heard me speak on this before and have heard me and the sheikhs answer questions about this before. Because we get at least two a week. And this innovative act is gathering together to read the Quran for dead people. This is bidah. This is innovation. And not only is it innovation, but it's also shirk. And this custom is practiced a lot in Pakistan. In fact, they have a religious holiday once a month where they all go and do these things. This is not from the Quran and Sunnah, and you need to stay away from this act of gathering together to read the Quran for the dead. Now, you have to remember, guys, Allah has told us that when a person is dead, they're dead. They cannot hear. They cannot see. They're not even a part of this world anymore. They're in a whole different level. Okay? And they're not even thinking about this world. They're busy dealing with answering those questions and dealing with the slander that they did in their lifetime or whatever. Okay? So when you go around reading Quran for dead people and talking to dead people, you are rejecting the fact that Allah has told us that they can't hear you. So this is what makes this act an act of shirk as well as innovation. And we need to stay away from this. Now remember the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he buried his daughter. He buried his son. He buried many of his companions at the Battle of Badr and the Battle of Uhud. There is no Sahih Hadith on this planet that states afterwards he and the other Sahaba gathered together to recite Quran for those dead people. So this is innovation. So you want to stay away from that. Also, there is nothing from the authentic Sunnah that states reciting the Fatiha for dead people should be done either. This is also bidah. And by the way, there is no authentic evidence on this planet that states you're supposed to read Surah Yasin for dead people. In fact, that hadith is da'if, it's weak. Okay? It's not even a sahih authentic hadith. Okay? So we need to stay away from these types of acts. You do not gather together to read Quran for dead people. You do not gather together after 40 days and recite Quran either, because you cannot give them your blessings. I'm going to tell you how this is shirk too. The Prophet ﷺ has told us that once a person dies, all his good deeds cease, except for the acts of charity that were done on behalf of him, and except for the doers that the children make for their parents, and except for the people who pay off the debts. That's it. But all other good deeds cease when a person dies. So you cannot read the Quran and for a dead person thinking you're going to give them your blessings. This is ludicrous. And again, you ask yourself, where is the hadith that shows the Prophet did this? Or any of the Sahaba? The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam died. Nobody loved him more than Abu Bakr, Umar, Ali, and Uthman and the rest of the Sahaba. Show me one hadith where they all gathered together 40 days later and recited Quran. Or show me one authentic hadith where they used to get Aisha would recite the Quran so the Prophet could receive her blessings. Or she would recite the Quran for her father to receive her blessings. Or her brother who was killed to receive her blessings. None of this stuff is true, guys. So again, you need to really be careful of this innovation, because this act is not only an act of innovation, but an act of shirk. You are ascribing partners to Allah. So we need to be careful of this, guys, and stay away from it. Okay? Another common act of innovation is fasting on the day of the mirage. First of all, nobody knows when the day of the mirage was. Nobody knows when it occurred anyway. That's number one. Number two, there is no evidence from the Quran or the Sunnah that states the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam or any of his companions used to fast on the day of the mirage. Again, where did this come from? It's an innovative act that some brilliant innovator decided he wanted to do, because the Christians and the Jews have a lot of holidays and we don't. So again, you want to stay away from this type of innovation. Fasting is an act of worship. It must be performed the way Allah has prescribed. And you will not find any evidence from the Quran or the Sunnah that states anyone fasted on the day of the mirage. Also, nobody knows when that day is anyway. Okay? So thus, these are just a few of the many, many, many different innovative acts that people indulge in. And again, the reason why I chose these to talk about is because these are the ones we get questioned about a lot here at our website. At least twice a week, somebody is asking about reading the Quran for dead people and cooking food for the dead people and all this other stuff. Again, guys, you ask yourself, when a person comes to you saying, let's do something, let's do this, the first thing that you ask is, okay, show me the evidence. They'll say, what? You say, show me the authentic hadith where the Prophet did it, or any of his companions, or show me the ayat or verse of the Quran where Allah said it's okay to do it. If the person cannot produce that evidence, then you tell them to beware of innovation. Because again, guys, innovation is a dangerous mechanism. It destroys Islam. It implies that Allah did not perfect our religion. It also destroys the Sunnah. It implies that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not complete his mission. And these are just two of the many reasons why innovation is so dangerous. You want to also remember, there is no such thing as bidah hasana, or good innovation. Because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said all innovation leads to the hellfire. And then we have the hadith of Ibn Umar. He said all innovation leads to the hellfire, even if it seems like it's something good. You want to remember that there is nothing that you can think of that will bring you closer to Allah that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not think of and tell us of. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, whatever brings you close to paradise, I have told you of it. And whatever will take you closer to hell, I have warned you against it. So again, his mission was complete. And he did not leave out anything. He did not make a mistake. So there's nothing you can think of, no matter how good it may seem, that will bring you closer to Allah unless the Prophet has already told us about it. So again, you want to stay away from all innovations. You want to stay away from all types of shirk. And we'll conclude our lecture right here. And if you have any questions, inshallah, go ahead and ask them.